Hey, welcome back to School Spirit. This is Tom McNew, and I have a special guest host this week. Hey, babe, how are you?
I'm well.
That is the voice of my lovely wife, Anne Marie. Thanks for subbing for Robin this week.
I'm happy to do it. I'm excited. I think this is the second episode of School Spirit that I've been on. The other one was when you interviewed me about
That's right.
Postgraduate.
Yeah. That was a couple weeks ago. Here we are on the cusp of Pentecost. Can you believe that the Easter season is almost over?
It has gone way too quick.
I hope everybody is ready for Pentecost. And one of the best ways to get ready to celebrate Mass is to tune in every Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock for the Institute of Catholic Culture's Sunday Gospel Reflection. Father Hezekias and Andy Mitchell, who's the co-host of the Sunrise Morning Show, does a deep dive into the context of the readings. He's not going to give you a homily. That's up to your priest at your parish. But it's all about that fifth gospel, the Holy Land, the geography, the time frame, the connection between the Old Testament and the New Testament, all that scriptural context that helps us gain a greater understanding of why the church selected those readings for the particular Sunday. And that then helps give us some understanding so that the homily that we're going to get from our priest has more impact. The Holy Spirit is able to work greater through us. So 2 p.m. Saturday afternoon, the Sunday Gospel Reflection on Armor of God Radio. But today we are talking with Miss Angie Neal, who is the director of Sacred Heart Homeschool, and Michaela Lewis, who is one of the group leaders at Sacred Heart and at the co-op. And we're going to get a whole lot of background on the co-op itself, some context, my word for the day, and why the co-op got started and the mission and goals and all that stuff. So let's just start with a little bit of introduction. Angie, introduce yourself to our 2.2 million listeners.
All right. Thank you, Tom. I'm happy to be here. Yes, I am married to Ross Neal. We have five beautiful children, ages 6 to 15. And when we were, my husband was in the military, we decided to homeschool our kids because we were going to be moving around. And so that's how we kind of got started on the homeschool journey. We've always homeschooled since the very beginning. And 5 kids later, 10 years later, we're still doing it and loving it. It's a lot of work. We don't just sit at home and do nothing.
What age range are your children?
But rewarding work, right?
It is very rewarding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Age range for your children now?
Right now, I have a 6-year-old, so he's going into second grade.
Okay.
And then they're going into sophomores.
Oh, wow. So you got the gambit.
Yep.
Elementary, middle school, and high school.
Yes. And for all those listening, you can do it all the way through if you want.
Now, how long have you been in this part of the world?
So we have been in Temple since 2015.
Okay.
Yeah. My husband, he got out of the military and went to PA school, became a PA. And so I went to A&M, and I always knew I wanted to get back to Texas and all my friends here. And so we got a job at Scott & White, and we've been here ever since.
That's awesome. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Okay. Shout out to all of our friends at Scott & White. So, Michaela, introduce yourself to everybody.
Oh, yeah. I'm Michaela Lewis. I am married as well, and my husband was in the military and has since gotten out. I have 3 children, 5 and under. So my oldest one just turned 5 last week, and that has been like a little bit of a heart wrench to see them growing up so fast. But a little opposite than Angie, because I have the younger age. Mm-hmm. So I have a 1-year-old who is motoring around now, and a spunky little 3-year-old, and I have all girls. So they're
all 3 girls.
All 3 girls, and they keep me really occupied.
Yeah. I forgot to ask you, Angie, boys and girls
ratio. So I have 4 boys and 1 girl.
Oh,
so ours is like
spoiled rotten.
I mean,
and where is she in the birth order?
She's one of the, she's a twin, the first. Oh. So she was second. She was the second twin. So
okay.
So
yeah.
She's one of the older kids.
Yeah, she's one of my 15-year-old.
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
And we we make sure that we have some feminine presence in the house because it's a lot of boy testosterone, lots of days.
That's funny. It's going to be interesting context as we go through, you know, the subject matter in our conversation here with an all girls perspective and a mostly boys perspective, you know, and the teaching philosophies and the thought process behind it. I think that's going to be interesting, and we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, and so, I think between the two of you, you've got like every age from 1 to 15, pretty much. Right?
Yeah, yeah,
that's awesome. So. That's good. So, give us a little bit of some background on the co-op. How, you know, when did it get started? What was kind of the impetus behind it?
And yeah, what was your motivation to get it started?
Okay, well, I never really thought I would be the leader of anything. And one of my good friends, she was thinking about joining a classical conversations group, which is a Christian classical group in the area. And they're a wonderful program. But she's a very traditional Catholic. And I was like, well, for the young age, it would probably be okay. But as you get older, the history is a little bit different when you want to really dive into that Catholic history. And they just won't really offer that. And so I was trying to find an alternative for her. And I'm looking online, and we have like a thing called Classical Catholic Memory. There's also Catholic Schoolhouse. And I was reading all about how you can join a chapter or start a chapter in your area when my friend called me and she said, you have to start a Catholic Schoolhouse chapter. Mm. And I was like, what? How did you know that I was on this website? And that's just how it started. I was like, that is true.
That is
true and true. And so she helped me and we started just getting it out in the community. And I talked to our local pastor and he was willing to let us use the facility. And it just, we got the ball rolling and we started with, I think, 12 families, which was a pretty good turnout, I thought. We had about 25 kids that first year. And just, it's just kind of snowballed from there. And so we started in 2019. Mm-hmm. We all know in the spring, COVID hit.
Yeah.
And so we didn't get to finish our final quarter, which was sad. But luckily, come fall, it was great because St. Luke said, hey, y'all can come and meet still. And everybody was, you know, still the homeschool community is a little bit like, I don't know, they're more willing to do things. And so they didn't want to stay away from people. Right. And so we still, the next year we came back and we were just full speed ahead and did a whole year there. And now we're in our seventh year. Yeah. So.
And you've always homeschooled?
I've always homeschooled. Homeschooled.
Okay. It's fascinating, I think. And I can't, unfortunately, my children are older, but I can't imagine, you know, trying to teach my kids, you know, the three R's and all this stuff. So it's got to be a little intimidating when you first launch into this. So, I mean, how do you respond to Mr. and Mrs. Smith, who say, there is no way that I have the patience or the time or the wherewithal or the understanding to homeschool, using my air quotes, homeschool my children?
Yeah. I never thought I would homeschool my children because I do not have a good amount of patience. I have a very hot temper.
That's why the Lord gave you four boys.
That's right. Yes. And so I think when you're lacking in something, God throws you into something to help you practice it, right?
Amen.
And so I think through homeschooling, I'm hoping that I've gotten a lot of purgatory years out of the way. And so
that's a good way to look at it.
Yeah.
So, you know, people say, I won't have the patience for it. But you do. You just have to, like, really pray for it and know that God is going to give it to you if you want it. And we've just been blessed to be able to do it, you know, with my husband working as a PA. I don't have to work, and so that's wonderful that we're able to do this and be there with our family. And I come from an engineering background, so I was worried, like, how am I going to teach rhetoric to my kids? How am I going to teach the writing and all that? Because I was never really good at mm-hmm. English. But the curriculums that are out there right now, I mean, they lay it all out for you. There's so many online curriculums that you can join for free mm-hmm. or, you know, pay a small fee and have other teachers teach them. Yeah. So there's so many options out there now that you shouldn't be scared that you can't do it.
I want to come back to conversation about your particular model, using air quotes again, here in just a minute. But Michaela, so you got now a 5-year-old.
Yes,
so now a 5-year-old. What was your decision process in, I'm going to homeschool my
yeah.
children?
Yeah, so I went to college and got my master's, and I was set for the government world, and I was gonna work in D.C. I had already interned down there, and my husband was military. I mean, we were just the government people, and I then took a job down in Austin working for the school district in a emergency management role, and so I got to see a lot of things, and the more I was in the public school system, I was there for 3 years or over 3 years, I just couldn't put my kids there. And so I
instantly, did you have kids at that time?
I didn't get out of, I had my daughter in 2020, and that was when I stopped working down there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, because me and my husband had talked about not having me work after mm-hmm. after kids, so that I could be home with them. And yeah, that was my decision. So working in the public yeah. school district definitely helped me decide to do so. And now I've been homeschooling my daughter, who's 5, for the preschool age. So I haven't gotten into the nitty gritty history or any mm-hmm. of that kind of stuff. But we found a curriculum even for that age, and she really likes the structure, and my 3-year-old's been involved in it as well. And they're just, it's a lot of play, a lot of hands-on stuff. And now this summer we're going to work on the Hooked on Phonics. Mm-hmm. So we're going to work on reading a little bit, because she is very, very big on sitting there with a lot of books. Mm-hmm. And I just think that if she can learn how to read, she opens up a huge world for
absolutely,
her.
Absolutely.
So what I'm hearing is, and something you mentioned before we went on the air, Michaela, was that you drive 45 minutes to get to this in Temple.
I do.
With Angie.
Yeah.
And I know that up in Gatesville, there's no Catholic schools. So deciding to homeschool versus sending your kids to a Catholic school, that's partially because of your location and the distance and not having that opportunity.
So Waco actually does have a Catholic home or Catholic school. It has the Bishop Riker.
But that's still 40.
Well, we go to St. Louis for church. So we already are out there. And
so do they even have a bus?
No, we would have to take the kids, but you talk about a lot of things on that. The tuition mm-hmm. is expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And private school or not, it's still an entity where mm-hmm. things can happen. Mm-hmm. And being that I came from a security background and all of that, I much prefer to have my kids home with me and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to drive 45 minutes, you might as well drive somewhere where you're going to find like-minded people, right?
Well, that was the big thing. So we have a co-op right mm-hmm. in town that's like 10 minutes away from me.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm the outskirts of Gatesville area, but yeah, it's right there, and we can we could go there. But it just, when my husband and I decided to start looking for a co-op, we wanted to find one that had Catholic values there, because mm-hmm. most CCE and stuff doesn't start early.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted the kids to kind of grow up in that air, you know,
saying a prayer, yeah. learning their Our Father and Hail Mary,
exactly.
and Glory Be, just the basic prayers.
Exactly.
And, yeah.
And not, so I came from a Protestant background, and I didn't convert until we got married, or right before we got married. And I didn't want my kids to have that conflict, you mm-hmm. know, being in a Protestant co-op where they might be told different things. I didn't want that, especially
yeah.
at a young age.
Yeah.
You don't want to confuse a kid at all.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that was I had a friend who had mentioned that she had shadowed it, and I was like, well, let me see what that's about, because it turned out to be an excellent fit for my kids. They I mean, my daughter, my five-year-old, has come out of her shell tremendously just simply by the year she's been there.
Wow. So, that's amazing.
You know, yeah. So that leads to the elephant in the room, the criticism that every homeschooling parent in the world has always heard. Oh, your kids are socially awkward and they don't get an opportunity.
they won't know how to get along with other kids. Yeah.
So Angie, you've been doing this for several years now. How do you answer that criticism?
Well, when or where in the world are you ever together with 20 of the same age peers?
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's not socialization.
No.
Right? I mean, my kids can go into a restaurant and not be afraid to order from the thing because they've had interaction with young kids, old kids. Adult. Like, mm-hmm. you know, we go to the nursing home and visit them and they're not scared. Like, they are like very social people, mm-hmm. right? They mm-hmm. know. And it's really hard actually as homeschoolers to stay home in school because they want to go out and do so many other things,
sure,
right?
Sure.
And like go out into the world and be there that's not ever been an issue for us.
Yeah.
I think the stigma like back, 50 years ago, mm-hmm. the people that were homeschooling might have like had those inclinations to begin
yeah.
with, mm-hmm. right? And they were very maybe introverted people, and so they yeah. just kind of got that stigma attached to
yeah,
them.
Sure.
But that's not how it is.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, it seems like it's a lot different nowadays that parents are taking more control and personal interest in their children's education and wanting to make sure that they grow up learning the values that they want their children to have versus just giving them off to somebody else yeah. to hope for the best.
Right. Well, and I mean, we don't need, you know, we go to church on Sundays, you know, and you might do like a faith formation in the middle of the week, but you know, we shouldn't exclude school from learning, you know, that
yeah.
should
yeah.
be our school, right? Like
right.
if we're going to learn to read, let's learn to read the Bible, you know, let's learn to read the catechism. Like, why are we having to use all these other books that don't mean anything,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so
what a novel idea, parents teaching your children.
Yeah.
That's incredible. So Michaela, now as you've started this venture, you know, you talked about your five-year-old coming out of her shell.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, how do you attribute that to the homeschooling process and not just growing up?
Yeah. Well, she's five. So, right. She was born in 2020. She was born in May and the world had shut down in March.
Yeah.
And so her first year was pretty much, there wasn't anything open. The library wasn't open to take her to. We had just moved up to this area and I didn't really know anybody. So like
wow.
her socialization to the world was essentially like going to doctor's appointments and my occasional Target run or something mm-hmm. like that. And it didn't start until her younger sister, my three-year-old, was born that even the hospitals had lifted up the
restrictions
and everything. It was a week before I gave birth to her that they told me I didn't even need to go get a COVID test before I had her. And so it was crazy. And so my five-year-old grew up with 2 years essentially of no like actual interaction because everybody was shut down. And at two, I mean, she's too young to go to a co-op or anything
yeah.
like
yeah.
that. So she actually is my quiet one. She just very reserved and everything. And you'd go and you'd even have family members because we don't live anywhere near family. They'd come mm-hmm. and visit or we'd visit them and she'd hide in the corner and things like that. But I mean, Angie can even speak to it to see like she just bloomed over mm-hmm. the last year. And I wouldn't say it's necessarily her growing up because my three-year-old's personality is like out there in the world. But she's also really reserved. And you've also seen her kind of come out of her shell.
Mm-hmm.
And then my one-year-old who has never experienced anything mm-hmm. other than being at the co-op and out and about and stuff, she's my social butterfly compared to the other two.
Oh yeah.
She doesn't know any different. She will go up to anybody. We were at, you know, a little t-ball practice the other day and she was sitting over with the friends that we didn't even know. Like they just had a dog. So she was like, these are where I'm going to hang out, mom. She's one. Like, but she grew up in a different time period,
yeah.
you know, than my 5-year-old. And so I definitely think the co-op and just being out with friends and getting to, you know, she's worked with other adults, which she just didn't have before. And so it definitely played a huge role in her development. I mean, she's five, so she's also starting to naturally come out of her shell.
But,
but it's huge.
We could do a whole show about the impact of 2020 on our children.
Let's keep that behind us.
But that was a great thing about this was that my kids, it was almost like COVID didn't happen because they still saw their friends. They still went to school. We didn't wear masks. We kind of just bucked the whole system. They were really
normal.
They got to stay normal. Yeah. I think that was such a blessing.
Yeah. And I think that's important though, because I mean, we're seeing so many, here we are 5 years post COVID, using air quotes again. And we still see a lot of these kids in the public school systems that are really still struggling. Mm-hmm. And it's 5 years after the fact. And I think that we're going to have a generational impact. And I think that the homeschool kids, you know, are going to be the ones that are, we say this all the time, the homeschool kids are the ones that are going to be leading the world, you know, because they mom and dad who were involved in the co-ops, not just yours, but all of them, you know, were like, okay, that's fine. You public school kids can stay home and play on the internet all you want to. We're going to stick to what we've been doing because we know it works.
Yeah.
And there's no reason for us not to be.
Well, and we have our convictions too, right? We made sure to like instill that into our kids. And what they do with it, you know, that's up to them. But I know that I am doing what God has told me to do to give my children and, you know, foster that love of Christ. So. Yeah.
And I think that's, you sort of hit it on a minute ago, but that the faith aspect of the curriculum and the co-op and everything that's associated with this, I think is an important thing. It's not just, hey, we go to church on Sunday and we do some coloring pages during the week and then we go to church next Sunday. It's, we're reading from the Bible.
We're living it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Living it every day.
Can you talk about that aspect of it here? We got just a few minutes before we're going to have to break, but.
Yeah, I mean, it's like when we're doing history, right? We're learning the history of the early church fathers, right? I mean, all of history, I mean, it's the Catholic Church. I mean, that's what started the universities, all of the science stuff. I mean, and so we don't get to exclude those things like the rest of the curriculums do. And we get to learn about lives of saints, like beautiful, you know, their beautiful lives. We get, when we write verses, when we do writing, we'll like write verses from the Bible, like for memory work.
Okay.
And so we're just incorporating all the things into it that we don't have to keep God out.
Right.
And so that's.
And you don't have to work then extra hard because you've got to compensate for what they may or may not be getting in a public school setting.
Yeah.
Oftentimes the exact opposite of what they're going to get in a Catholic school, Catholic homeschool co-op kind of perspective.
Yeah, especially like with the science stuff, you know, there's some really crazy ideas out there. And so being able to use, you know,
Catholic values.
Right, like the theology of the body, right? Yeah. When we're studying anatomy and physiology and like all those things that are like beautiful and how God made it beautiful, we can actually talk about that when we're studying how God created us, you know, in our bodies. And so
that's awesome. That's awesome.
So it's all encompassing.
We are going to I have 1,000 more questions.
Okay. So, I have a few questions myself.
Yeah, I know you do. I know you do. But we got about 4 minutes here before we go run out of time. And so what I want to do is just kind of tease a little bit on the curriculum. And then can you come back and we can talk some more about the curriculum and the, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, that's great. So we'll have a part two next week. For those of you that may be just tuning in and didn't catch the first part of our conversation with Angie Neal and Michaela Lewis, you can always tune in on Sundays at 12 o'clock. We will rebroadcast this episode, and eventually it'll be on our website. Give me a couple days, and it'll be up on our website where all of our other programs are up there as well. And so you can always tune back in on Sunday We will pick back up here next week with the rest of this. So you talked briefly and introduced this Catholic home. What'd you call it?
Well, so Catholic it's Catholic Schoolhouse.
Schoolhouse, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's what we use at the beginning. For the first 4 years, we use that curriculum, and it's a nationwide, and it's beautiful, it's wonderful. The needs of our community changed a little bit, and so I wanted to make sure that everybody was getting what they needed. And so because this can be a standalone curriculum, but nobody else was using it at home, it just didn't make sense to continue on with it, mm-hmm. Because there was a lot of work getting all of the material covered. Mm-hmm. And so we wanted to make sure that anybody could use any curriculum that they're using at home and come to our co-op and just provide supplemental, like fun electives. And so we mm-hmm. know, like, as homeschoolers, we don't like to get messy, do art projects, science projects, all those at home. And so that's what we do. We do an art project, we do a science project, a science experiment, and then we do like a chorus. And so we're learning sacred music that's kind of been lost in the church. And so we're really trying to incorporate that into with the kids and like learning all the different composers through the mm-hmm. years and the ages that we're studying. And so we do that. And then we also do a virtue program. So we do a girl's virtue program and a boy's virtue program, mm. which is called The Little Flowers and the Blue Knights. And so, and it's funny because Michaela, who has all girls, she teaches our boys' virtue class.
I do.
So she's learning all about the boys.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Well, that's good because she'll need to know that.
I was going
to
say, prepping for
her
future.
Daughters. Yeah, exactly. So.
All right, folks, we are going to have to put a pin in that conversation. I want to we'll pick up next week with a little bit more of the structure of the co-op itself and how you guys have developed this and the reliance, I guess, on the true community aspect of the whole organization.
All right.
Again, folks, if you missed some or all of this, tune in on Sunday afternoon at 12 o'clock, and you can listen to our encore presentation. And we will be back next week with Miss Angeneal and Miss Michaela Lewis, and we'll pick right back up here on School Spirit on the Armor of God Catholic Radio Network. Y'all have a great weekend. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.